Amen. Well, welcome to chapel, this chapel on the last day of Monday classes, the last Monday chapel. Today, we are going to talk a little bit about stories. And to do that, I've invited my friend Mariana Thomas, whose story, got some love, whose story I've had the privilege of getting to know just a little bit this year. And Mariana is a senior here at Hope, which means that much like some of you, she is closing a significant chapter of her life in the next couple weeks. And hopefully, God willing, she'll be starting a brand new adventure at Princeton Seminary in the fall. That deserves it, yep. But Mariana and I recently have been talking a lot about stories and the role that stories play in understanding who God is. And we decided that we think that stories play a really important role in understanding who God is. God uses the art of story to reveal himself to us. God uses the art of story to reveal himself to us. And we see this in Scripture, in the Bible. We see this in the life story of Jesus, but we also see this in the church, in each other, in listening to each other's stories. But here's the thing. Some of our stories are really great and exciting, and we want to shout them from the rooftops. God showed up in my life in this way. Isn't this awesome? And they feel safe to share with other people. Some of our stories, however, are really painful and really hard, and if we're honest about them, they're hard to share with one another. And God shows up in the most profound ways sometimes in the unsafe story. It's easy when we tell our stories to only tell the safe parts. It's much harder to tell the parts of our stories that we know are going to make other people feel uncomfortable. And Mariana has thought quite a bit about this recently. So Mariana, I'm wondering, if you could tell us, why do you think it's important to tell the unsafe and the safe stories?
Well, it's important to tell all stories, but especially the unsafe stories, because they challenge us, they unsettle us, and they help us to know how to deal with our own stories when they become unsafe.
Yeah. So can you explain that a little bit more for us?
Sure can. The Bible is full of people who had unsafe stories. For example, Paul and Mary and Martha. Paul's story became unsafe when he received a vision from the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 6, Paul describes a vision of heaven that the Lord revealed to him. He then goes on to say, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" Notice the words here. A thorn. Something straight out of the pit of hell to harass him, to keep him from becoming conceited. Paul's words here are significant because they show the gravity of the situation. Paul is not a complainer. He's taken a lot for the cause of Christ. So when he says, "A messenger from Satan to harass him," I start paying attention. But Paul's not done telling his story. Watch how it becomes unsafe real quick. He says, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord that it should leave me." The Lord's response, "My grace is sufficient for you." Now wait, what? I think we read these verses in a hurry, but I want to unpack this just a little bit. This is Paul, not Saul. He got converted and has been running for God ever since. He's got faith that can move mountains, probably talks to Jesus more than you or I ever will. Paul knows that Jesus has dominion and power over all things, who knows that he works all things for our good. Paul has asked Jesus to do this one thing for him, because whatever it is, it got to be too much, because remember, he called it a messenger from Satan. And what is it doing? Harassing him. All he wants is for Jesus to make it leave. And Jesus says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." What? Now I'm going to go to my sanctified imagination and try to put myself in Paul's shoes. And I imagine Paul was confused. Because what I heard Jesus say to Paul, using my intergroup dialogue skills, is no. No, Paul, I know you've been asking me about this for some time and I haven't taken it away. And the reason for that is I'm not going to. What, Jesus? I'm sorry, what? Now let's pause right there and go to Mary and Martha when Lazarus dies, another unsafe story. Now, I really want to go deep on this story, but for the sake of time, I can't. So let's get the highlights. Lazarus gets deathly ill, so Mary and Martha send word to Jesus that he is sick. Watch what they say. They say, Lord, he whom you love is ill. Now, that might seem like a real casual statement to you. I mean, how many of us believe Jesus loves us? But watch the next part. It says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Understand the gravity of that. It's one thing for them to say, Jesus loves me. It's another for him to say, I love you too. But then, you know, what should happen next is, of course, he loves them, so he's going to heal Lazarus. The story gets unsafe real quick because right after Jesus confirms that he loves him, my Bible says, I don't know what your Bible says, but my Bible says, so when Jesus heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days, count them two, longer in the place where he was. What? You notice I've said what quite a few times because when I read unsafe stories, I get more questions than answers. Because just like Paul, Mary and Martha are not new converts. They've seen what Jesus can do. They believe in his work and power. They support his ministry. So when they send word that Lazarus is deathly ill, they expect Jesus to show up. When Paul pleads for the thorn to be removed, he knows what Jesus can do. He expects him to show up. So imagine my confusion when Jesus waits 2 days, when he says no to Paul, I'm not removing the thorn. But wait, when Jesus finally does get ready to go and he's telling the disciples that Lazarus is dead, he goes on to say something that really messes me up. He says, Lazarus has died and for your sake, I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe. What's my question? What, Jesus? Are you for real? Not only did you wait and let their brother die, now you got the audacity to say that you are glad you waited? Because only Jesus knew that he was going to raise Lazarus up. So you can imagine how insane this must have sounded to the disciples. Even more crazy to Mary and Martha when Jesus shows up 4 days late because he was late. Somebody say late. And Martha says, what we're all thinking. Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Once again, using my intergroup dialogue skills, I hear, where were you at, Jesus? I know what you can do, Jesus. I called on your name first, Jesus. I sought you because I know you can heal, and you waited. Has Jesus ever waited and responded to you? Has he ever said no to you? Jesus, I know you can heal, and then he doesn't heal your incurable cancer. Jesus, I know you can protect, and he doesn't keep you from unfortunate events. Jesus, I know you can speak the word, and he doesn't, and lets Lazarus die. What do you do when your story becomes unsafe? These are not stories of, I cried out to the Lord, and he heard my cry and fixed it. These are stories of, I cried out to the Lord, and he didn't fix it. He didn't heal him. He didn't save her. He didn't protect me. What happens when he doesn't show up right away? Has he forsaken us? Did he forget about me? Did I do something to make him mad? Because I'm faithful. I read my Bible every day, show up to Bible class, Bible study, go to church. I pray. I studied for that test. I had faith it would all work out, and it didn't. What do you do when your story stops being roses and rose petals, when our stories of Jesus fix it turn to Jesus, where were you at? Have you ever wrestled with moments like this? I have. I thought when I came to Hope, my time would be roses and rose petals. I mean, I'm off to college. I'm a Christian. I'm going to a Christian college. I'm good. Then my story got unsafe. A series of unfortunate events happened in my life that left me broken. And when you are broken, the last words you want to hear from Jesus is, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Jesus, what? You can get so heartbroken that you say, Jesus, I don't want your grace. I want you to remove it. Jesus, I don't want your perfect power. I asked you to come through. Jesus, I don't want you to walk me through this valley. I don't want to be in the valley. Jesus, what's going on? I asked you to do it, and you didn't. Those words, my grace is sufficient for you, seem real empty when you really hurt. You have more questions for God than answers. What do you do when your story becomes unsafe? Unfortunately, I don't have all the answers. I just said I got a lot more questions than answers. But I will share with you what Jesus has showed me in my final semester at Hope. Like the scripture, he confirms that Mary, for Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, that he loves me. When our stories become unsafe, we think he doesn't love us anymore, but he does, because his love for me doesn't stop when he waits it out or says no. His love for me is not predicated on my situation or circumstance. If I'm going through something, he is loving me in the midst of it because his love is steadfast. It doesn't quit because my life gets hard and unbearable. In fact, that's when his heart towards us shows up in other ways. When Mary and Martha question Jesus, he reminds them that he is God. He is the resurrection and the life, and all those who believe in him will not die. Then on the way to this promise, aka the tomb, to resurrect Lazarus, he weeps with them. Now, some of us may have looked at Jesus like the Jews did, gave him a little side eye, like, isn't this the one who, you know, made the blind see? He could have fixed it. But he didn't. And when he didn't, he let Mary and Martha question his heart for them so that he could show them his heart with his tears. Unlike the world, Jesus does not tell us to get over it. He jumps into the unsafe story and walks us through it. Here's the thing. Jesus knows what he's going to do. Oh, he's still going to heal you. It might not be on this side of heaven. Oh, he's still going to deliver you. It just might not be today. Oh, he's still going to show up, just not always the way we request or want him to. See, Jesus is God, so he cannot lie. He must do what he says he's going to do. He's got to be God. He can't help it. So then I want to close with how I began. We stopped at my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness, to wrestle with Paul's story, to understand the weight of such a response, how disappointing and unwanted such a response can be in the midst of heartbreak, grief, and pain. But let's keep going. Paul goes on to say, therefore, that's a change in perspective. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Unsafe stories lead us through a process of healing. Healing takes time. You got to reckon with the no, the delayed response, that I'm going to lead you to the valley of the shadow of death and walk you through it. How much time did it take for Paul to say that last piece after the therefore? How long did he have to sit with these words? My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. How weak did he have to get for God's power to be made perfect in him? What did God's grace look like for him in his life? What does it look like in yours? These unsafe stories are here so that we can remember that God still loves us when he says no. In fact, he loves us so much that he carries us through the hurt, through the pain, through the no. Getting to the therefore takes time. It takes time to get to the top of the mountain so that you can say with confidence, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. When my story got unsafe, it was then that my God really showed up and showed out. No, the thorn is still there. Hear that. The thorn is still there. The hurt didn't leave. Mary and Martha still had to grieve Lazarus. And, not but, and Jesus showed up to mourn with them, to walk with them to the promise of new life in him, to remind us that yea, though we walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, we do not have to fear any evil, for his rod and staff comfort us. No, that does not make the unsafe story safe again. It probably makes it more unsafe, but God proves himself every time to be a good, good, loving father, true to his word, that we can trust him and rely on him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the unsafe stories. Thank you for your word. Thank you for just letting us know that you are good, especially in the times when it don't look like it. When you say no, Lord, you're still there with us, loving us all the more. Help us as we walk through our unsafe stories. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Go in peace, making room for each other's unsafe stories.